number four. I want to look at that tonight and just see where God leads us tonight. But I believe you'll get, as well as I did, you'll get what you need out of this and what God's called us. And the little word I want to look at tonight is repentance. And that's a word that we must never get away from in our Christianity and in our life. You know, there's a lot of words and there's a lot of Bible words and there's a lot of words that we use that we call doctrinal words. Words that we use for doctrine. And you know, if you go to the doctor or you go somewhere and you got a symptom and you go to them and they tell you, I'm going to give you some medicine or I'm going to give you something, who prescribes that for you? And they have a pad. And the only way you can get that medication is if that doctor signs that for you on his notepad and he signs that, and that doctrinal, what he signs is good for you. It's good and it helps you, and that's the only way you can get it is by going to the doctor. Well, tonight there's a word that we found here and we don't want to overskip it, and that is repentance tonight. Repentance is a part of the doctrinal that we use in our Christian life. It's what leads us up to salvation. Repentance tonight. All the way through the Bible, you'll find where men, women, boys, and girls has been called to repent everywhere. So tonight, as we get into the study tonight, I want to look at the truth about repentance tonight. The truth about repentance. Tonight, as we get here tonight and we look into this, we're going to see tonight, we're going to read in Romans 2:4, but we're going to flip back to the book of Luke. And it's no better fitting place to turn back to than to Dr. Luke. Amen? He was a physician. He's a doctor. So we go into this area tonight. Romans chapter 2 and verse number 4. I would ask you to stand tonight as we reverence the reading of God's word. And the Bible says tonight in Romans 2:4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence tonight, Father, I love you and I thank you for this opportunity to come in and just get a little doctrinal word out of here that means so much in our life tonight. Father God, we walk this Christian life. We walk what we've called Christianity, what you set forth in our life when we was born again. And we walk this life due to repentance in our life that we've turned and we're going a different way in the blood of Jesus Christ. Not doing what we used to do, not going down the same path that we used to go down. But Father God, now that we've been born again, we're following you in spirit and in truth. Father, I love you tonight. I thank you so much for meeting that great need in my life. And Lord God, I pray tonight when we walk out of this place, we can see the true importance of repentance in an individual's life tonight. Father, I love you and Father, I thank you. Guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Everything that I would say, let it be all about you and nothing about me. I ask it all tonight in Jesus Christ's most holy, precious name. All of God's people said, amen. You may be seated tonight. As we come here tonight and as we look at the word repentance, the Bible gives us some practical truths about repentance in our life. A repentance that's in our life. There's five practical truths tonight that we're going to look at in the book of Luke tonight. And there's five practical truths about repentance. And repentance tonight, let me just bring you up to speed of what repentance is. You know, a repentance is not when you say you got caught doing something. You say, oh no, I'm sorry. And then the next day you go right back to doing the same thing that you was sorry for getting caught with. I've been in many services and I've been in many places. And I've seen people walk to the altar in different areas and different places, and they'd get to that place and they'd throw something down on the altar, or they'd say, I'm through with that and I'm going to leave it alone. And in about a week, they'll get up and they'll walk right back and they'll keep doing the same thing. Well, that's not repentance tonight. A repentance tonight is when you turn and you go a different way. You're not going the same way that you used to go. You've repented. You've asked God to forgive you. Repentance is this. It's a change of attitude. Your attitude is not the same it used to be. It's a change in one's way. Do you remember? I'm talking about changing attitude or changing one's way. And he says this, or to go in a different direction. Do you remember when Jesus, when he was going into the city to be crucified and he was going to Golgotha's hill and he met one coming out, Simon the Cyrenian. And when Simon was going one way and Jesus Christ was going another way. And when they met one another, they compelled Simon the Cyrenian to tote the cross of Jesus. Well, Jesus is going to Golgotha and Simon's going away from Golgotha. But when he met Jesus, you know what he did? He took up the cross and followed Jesus. So that's what it did. He turned going the way that he wanted to go and he started going the way that Jesus wanted him to go. So So tonight we're going to look at repentance tonight. And I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter number, and we're going to be in Luke all night long. Luke chapter number 13 and verse number 3 tonight. And we're talking about repentance and what repentance does in one's life. Number one tonight, repentance prepares you and I for regeneration in our life. It gives us a chance to be restored and to be regenerated tonight. Look what he says tonight. In Luke 13, 3, Jesus says, and I tell you, nay. He said, I tell you, no, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He says tonight that regenerates an individual tonight. Repentance tonight is the process of salvation in an individual's life. Of course, tonight we know that we're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hey, but there comes a time in our life that the Holy Spirit shows us that we're going the wrong way and we're living in the wrong way and we don't need to keep going that way. And you say, preacher, what happens? The Holy Ghost that convicts us and we repent and we turn from our wicked ways and we start following Jesus Christ because we've been washed by the blood of Jesus. He says tonight in verse number 3, I tell you. He says, I want you to tell everybody, everywhere you go, that you must repent. Hey, there's a new generation on the scene and there's a new people on the scene that is preaching and teaching a lot of things. But I want to say to you tonight, as long as I stand behind a sacred desk, I don't know how many years that'll be, but I do know this. I hope I never change what God always instituted in His Word. And I pray I stand on that Word of God, that if an individual is going to be saved, he must repent. Amen? He must repent of what he did and asking God to forgive him tonight. We see in Luke 13, 3, Jesus says, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall likewise perish. And he says tonight, repentance, it prepares you and I for regeneration. Here's what regeneration is tonight. Regeneration is a change in a person's life. There has been a change in that individual's life. There has been correction in an individual's life. Do you remember when you used to walk one way, but now you've been saved and there's been a change? Hey, it may not be a big change for a lot of people. Hey, but it's a big change in your life. You're not doing the things you used to do. You've been changed. And when you've been changed, you've been corrected. Amen? Hey, to be regenerated, to repent tonight is not to do a 360, but it's to do a 180. Hey, you don't turn all the way around. You just turn from where you was and you start going that way. If you do a 360, you know what you'll do? And that's what happens in a lot of people's life. They come in and they're remorseful and they regret doing what they used to do. But you know what they do? They try to turn over a new leaf. And Jesus says tonight, turning over a new leaf won't do you a bit of good. Can I get an amen? Hey, stopping what you're doing won't do you a bit of good. You must get to a place in your life, and I must as well. Let me stop there. You must get to a place. He's hit me with this. Let me give you this. If you want to know there's a change in your life, whoo, thank you for the Holy Ghost. If you want to know that there's a change in your life, you'll know that there's been a day in your life that you've repented and there's been a regeneration go on in your life. This crowd may be small, but let me tell you something. We serve a big God. Amen? I don't know what's going on in your life tonight and you don't know what's going on in my life tonight, but I do know this. I live each and every day of my life through a one thing in my life that I call a doctrine, Brother Rodney, that I hold true of, and that is repentance tonight. Friends, I want you to know there's just not one repentance in our life, but on a daily basis, if we know that we've come against God and we sinned against Him tonight, we come to a place in our life that we repent daily. Hey, I want you to know in the Word of God tonight, He says when you get to that place in your life, you'll know there's a regeneration that's take place. Friends, I want you to know you won't go the same old way. There's been a correction. There's been a change. Hey, but there's been a conversion in your life. I'm not who I used to be. You're not who you used to be tonight. I've been changed. I've been converted. Friends, tonight when Paul, he was on that road to Damascus, and I thank God tonight when he was on that road to Damascus, and he got to that place and he repented and he asked God to save him. You know what happened in his life? He didn't keep going the same way. He didn't keep persecuting the church. He didn't keep killing Christians. He didn't keep living his way. You know what he did? He got regenerated. He got born again. He got washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And when I do that and you do that in our life tonight, there's a way that God likes it tonight, and he likes us living under the doctrine of repentance tonight. Amen. He loves that doctrine of repentance. Let me give you this. That regeneration tonight, it is a change. It is a correction. It is a conversion. Hey, but tonight is when an individual has been born again. There will be a change in your life. Amen. He says it produces something tonight. It prepares that regeneration. Jesus says in Luke 13:3, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Hey, but let me give you this. Not only are the truth about repentance, number one, it prepares you and I for generation, but repentance produces rejoicing in an individual's life. Repentance produces enjoyment, rejoicing in your life. Turn with me tonight to Luke 15 tonight. Luke chapter number 15 and verse number 7. He says tonight, repentance don't only get to the place where it prepares us for regeneration, but repentance tonight, it produces rejoicing in an individual's life. As a Christian tonight, if you can't rejoice, it may be a place in your life where you need to repent. That's good. You may be at a place tonight where you're just not rejoicing the way you need to rejoice. And you say, well, preacher, I repented when I got saved. Man, it's a daily battle. The battle you and I face is daily. Look what he says here in Luke 15 and verse number 7. He said, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. He said there's going to be joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And look in verse number 10. He says again, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. As we come here tonight and we get to this place and we see that repentance prepares for regeneration, repentance produces rejoicing in a believer's life. Not only in a believer's life, but it produces rejoicing in heaven. Over one person that repents, there is rejoicing in heaven. Amen? There's rejoicing in heaven. You say, preacher, when I got saved, hey, my whole family didn't rejoice. There wasn't a whole lot of rejoicing. But I say to you tonight, when you got born again, there's a party in heaven. Hey, they was having a heyday up there. Can I get an amen? He said, there's a rejoicing in heaven. Hey, but if you look between 7 and 11 there, there's a rejoicing in the home. Talking about the woman that had lost something and she got looking in her home. Look what she says here. Either in verse number 8, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Friends, tonight when we get to this place and we realize what repentance will do in your life and what repentance will do in my life, I will rejoice when I get right where God would have me to be. Amen. And as we look at this tonight and we see what repentance does, every time we go anywhere and we preach and we come in this place, we always give a time of invitation. We want people to come. You say, preacher, what are they coming to do? To repent and ask God to forgive them. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. What is that turning from? That is a repentance when you turn from them wicked ways. I ask you a question tonight. I ask myself this all the time. If I've repented, there ought to be something in my life that's going to bear fruit somewhere down the road in my life. There ought to be a change. He said, number one, there's rejoicing in heaven. Number two, there's a rejoicing in the home. Amen? I can say tonight on the authority of God's word, my home life ain't like it used to be. My wife will give witness to that tonight. It ain't like it used to be, friends. I want you to know my home life's not the same. Daddy's, it's in this room tonight. Let me tell you something. When you repent and you ask God to save you, your home life should not be the same. Not only is heaven rejoicing, but your home should be rejoicing. Man, there ought to be something in that home. Man, there's a fire been set in that place. Hey, but let me tell you this. Not only is they rejoicing in heaven, not only is they rejoicing in that home, but they should be rejoicing in that heart when a man repents. When he repents and he gets right with the Lord, he gets right back in the standing where he needs to be with God Almighty in our life. Friends, I want you to get this afternoon. What repentance does, it's a doctrine in our life that allows us to walk with God the way we need to walk. He says tonight, not only that there's rejoicing in repentance, but let me show you this tonight. Repentance proclaims a return. It proclaims a return. Not only do you get to a place where repentance is for regeneration and that individual is regenerated, and not only get where he rejoices, but it makes an individual return to where they need to be. Look with me, if you will, here in Luke chapter number 15, right where you're at, verse number 18 through 20. You know the story about the lost son. The prodigal son, he went out into that foreign country and he went out and he went his way and he just started doing whatever he wanted to do. And as he got out there, he came to his senses and he had been careless with his character. He had got out there and he was the son of a king, but when he got out there, he started living with the pigs and he started wallowing with the pigs and he started doing what the pigs do. And friends, you know what the pigs do? They grunt and they snort and they get dirty. Friends, tonight, a child of God, we shouldn't be grunting and we shouldn't be snorting. Hey, and we shouldn't be getting dirty with the world. Hey, he's given us something. Amen. Remember, he said he got careless with his character. But then he got concerned with his citizenship. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. When he came to himself, he said, I'll go to my daddy's house. You know what this place ought to be? Anybody that's ever been born again, they ought to be able to say, I can go to Union Chapel and find a place of rest. I can go find a place of rest and not judgment, but I can find a place of rest. He says, look here if you will with me. We're going to start with verse number 17. Repentance proclaims a return when you repent. Have you ever felt like you was unworthy? Filthy? Dirty? Do you know what you do when you get dirty at home? First thing you do, you go in and you get in the shower. Because you want to be washed. You want to be clean. You want to be fresh. You want to be new. Folks, tonight as a Christian, we must get to a place in our life. I must get there on a daily basis where I return to what God's called me to do, and that's repentance. I believe our nation's, the reason it's in the mess it's in, because of not turning to repentance. Folks, tonight, repentance is when you're going one way and you turn and start going another way. You don't do what you used to do, but you go in a different path. This guy, this prodigal son, he had got here and he done got careless with his character. Man, he had it all and he said, I'm going to go out and do what I want to do. I'm going to live the way I want to live and do it the way I want to do it. You know what the problem is with a child of God? You can't do that. Child of God can't do what he wants to do like he wants to do it when he wants to do it. A child of God's got to do it God's way. He got careless with his character. And he went out and he said, give me half of what's mine. Ain't none of that his. That was his father's inheritance. It wasn't his. But he said, I'm entitled to it. Give it here. He took it and he went out and he got careless with his character. And he lost and spent everything that he had. But then in verse 18, he got concerned with his citizenship. And he said, I ain't no better. I've got nothing to eat. I've got nothing. And I need help. Look what he says in verse 18, verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? In verse 18, he said, I will rise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. Folks, tonight, when you get to the place in your life and I get there where I stay in an attitude of repentance, God can move in my life. God can move in your life. This young man, not only did he get careless with his character, not only he got concerned with his citizenship, but he got to a place where he started crying because he wanted compassion. You know what the rich man wanted when he lifted up his eyes from hell? There's three things he wanted. You say, well, he wanted water. No. Number one, he wanted peace when he lifted up his eyes. Number two, he wanted a prayer. But number three, he wanted a preacher. He said, send Moses to my family. It's done too late. They won't believe that one's rose from the grave. They won't believe Moses and the prophets. Folks, tonight when he was there burning in hell, he was wanting to repent. He was wanting something. He said, it's done too late. There's a great gulf that's been fixed. Now you and I have the opportunity to repent right here and right now tonight. Get our life right with God tonight. He said, preacher, you act like everybody in this room's lost. Oh, no, I know what works, repentance. I know what works when I get before my face before an almighty God. You know, when I feel like I'm just beating my head against that pulpit and going nowhere, you know what I have to, what I do? I have to get down on my knees and ask God to search my life. Ask God to search me and see what's going on in my life. But you know what something else repentance will do? Let me give you this. Repentance will not only it'll regenerate a man. Not only will repentance get to a place where it'll produce rejoicing and you can be happy. But repentance also proclaims a return. That prodigal come back home. But repentance tonight precedes reconciliation. What? Repentance precedes reconciliation. I've told this story many a times and I'll tell it again. When I got born again, the same as you did, when I would run into an individual that I had wronged And son, I'm telling you, I wronged a lot on the way down. It wasn't no way up. I was on the way down. And I wronged a lot of people in a lot of ways. But you know what repentance will do? It'll produce something in your life, and that's reconciliation. People that you thought you could never get along with again, and people you thought that bridge had done been burnt for a long time. Boy, sort of get a witness right here. Maybe you got family members that you said, man, that bridge has been burnt. It won't never work again. It will work with God in it when you repent. Let me show you what I'm talking about before I tell the story. Repentance precedes reconciliation. We're just going to turn one right on over. Luke 17 and verse number 3. Luke 17 and verse number 3. Now we're talking about when you repent. When I repent, repentance, what it does in our life on a daily basis. It ain't only for salvation, but it's for reconciliation with people that we're amongst. Look what he says in Luke 17 verse number 3. Take heed to yourselves. He said, watch this right here now. You need to take heed. You need to listen. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. What? Yeah. Preacher, you don't know what he's done to me. No matter. If he asks forgiveness, what you got to do? If he repents, what you got to do? You got to forgive him. You don't know how many times he's done that against me. See what the Bible says. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. I'm talking about reconciliation just for a moment. You won't find this written in no book nowhere right here. This is just life experience, life application, what they teach in seminary school. Life application. When I was living for the world doing what I wanted to do, man, I just lived it any old way I wanted to live it. And there's a guy named Willie Midcalf. Everybody in this place knows Mr. Willie probably. Mr. Willie Midcalf. I got Mr. Willie's three-wheeler to the house, four-wheeler, whatever you want to call it, and was going to clean it up for him, work on it for him just a little bit there. Mr. Willie Midcalf's four-wheeler, in the midst of all my wrongdoings, got stolen. Gone. Out of here. No longer, no more. Hasta la vista. Gone. I got to say, I dodged Mr. Willie for a long time. I got saved. Man, born again, I was on fire. I'm talking about telling everybody that Jesus saves. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And I got to Jackrabbit Slim's one day at Sullivan. And I was pumping my gas, and I didn't have my tank full. Nothing I could do, Brother Eric, but go in the store. When I looked up, there sat Mr. Willie to the left back there in them chairs. And I looked up, and I seen him over there, and I said, oh, no. Here I am, born again, and what am I going to do? I walk into that store, and him sitting in that back left corner. I open that door, I go in, take my debit card, and I swipe it, and I go to open that door to go back out. And the Lord told me, he said, don't you go back out that door. Don't you go back out that door. You know you've wronged that man, and you need to ask him to forgive you. I want you to push that door open, folks. I'm talking about what repentance will do. It'll reconciliation in your life. It'll reconcile some things with people that you may have an ought against. You know, in our Christian life, we shouldn't walk around with oughts with people. We should have it right. I went to push that door open, and the Holy Spirit got even stronger. Don't you do that. I closed that door back. I let it just come back to. Mr. Willie was sitting to my right at that time. And I was walking back through there, and the Holy Spirit said, be humble, and he'll forgive you. Be humble. Don't go with a prideful spirit. Be humble. When I got to about where Mr. Willie was, he was sitting there, and he looked at me, and I looked at him. And when I got to where he was, I just kneeled down like this. So I could get pretty close eye to eye with him. And I said, Mr. Willie, do you remember? Yeah, I remember. Mr. Willie, I want to ask you to forgive me. And he said, son, when I heard that you got born again, I forgave you right then. Folks, tonight, there may be some in here tonight that you say, preacher, I don't know how I'm going to get things back right like it needs to be. I know I'm saved. I'm walking the way I should. But, man, I got problems over here and problems over there with people I just can't get along with. And that's that reconciliation that takes place. But you see, there's a key in there. It says if he asks you to forgive, you are to forgive. Folks, tonight I want you to know something in my life and in your life tonight. The life that we live called Christianity. There's somebody watching you and there's somebody watching me in the way we're going to do it. Tonight I would ask you a question tonight. Is there somebody in your life that you need to reconcile things with? Maybe you've not talked to them in a long time and you're at that place where you say, I need to call and talk to them. Maybe you was in the wrong and you need to just make things right. Maybe they was in the wrong. So until they call, I'm not calling them. Folks, tonight we get to a place in our life where Jesus said not only will it make reconciliation, but repentance will do remission. When we repent, that reconciliation, he'll start making all things due. And that sin that's in our life, he'll remove it by the remission of sins, by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you look with me tonight to Luke chapter number 24 and verse number 47. If I'm not misquoting that, I believe that's where it is, Luke 24, 47. He's talking about tonight not only reconciliation, but the remission of sins tonight. Luke 24, 47. I'm going to share all the way through the book of Luke. I've showed you tonight the truth about repentance. You know, I could not tell you that story tonight if I hadn't asked forgiveness. I couldn't have told you that tonight if I wouldn't have went to that man and asked that man to forgive me of what I've done so wrong. Tonight, I would just wonder in your life and I'd wonder in my life, how many times do I get to a place where I'm not going to ask forgiveness? What we call it over there where I live is just being stubborn, bullheaded. But Jesus said, when you go and you preach the gospel, make sure you preach repentance because it'll work. He said, make sure you preach repentance because it'll work. Look what he says in Luke 24, 47. Repentance permits remission. Luke 24, 47, and Jesus said, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witness of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. He said that repentance in your life, not only will it prepare you for regeneration, not only will it produce rejoicing and proclaim a return when you come back, it precedes reconciliation, it permits remission. Let me give you this tonight. Turn with me and turn it to Acts 2:38. Share this with you tonight as we close, as we go through some verses. After the day of Pentecost, they come to this place, and all the way through we see what Peter says here, what he's telling folks. Acts 2:38 tonight, we're talking about repentance. Acts 2:38, it should be preached. And after the day of Pentecost, they preach repentance. Whoever stands behind this sacred desk, church, this is the church, listen to me. You make sure they preach on repentance. You make sure they preach that a man must repent to be born again. And a man must ask forgiveness, must repent. Look what he says tonight. Then Peter said unto them, repent. Peter said unto them, it pricked them in the heart. And they said, what must we do to be saved? And Peter said unto them, repent and be ye baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Promises unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Peter didn't only tell them right then. Peter said unto them, repent. Turn with me to Acts 3:19. And this is what Peter said. The onlookers, the one that was looking on, said what's going to be taking place in that individual's life. Acts 3:19, the Bible says, repent ye therefore and be converted. Be converted. Yeah, be changed. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Repentance. 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 From the life I lived to the life I live now, there's been a conversion. From the life I lived to the life, see, I can't tell about you. I don't know. That's your story. I can only tell my story. What I used to say around here all the time, just be you full of Jesus. Don't try to be me. I'm not going to try to be you. I'm just going to be who I am. I'm going to be full of Jesus. But there's a repentance that took place. And I believe this tonight. What we're missing as a whole, I'm not talking about this, I'm talking about as a whole, is true Holy Ghost repentance. I'm talking about when we're truly sorrowful for what we've done wrong. and we repent and we ask God to forgive us. I don't know about you, but that's a weekly basis in my life that I get before God and I say, Lord God, if they anything. I'll never forget me and Brother Jackie Scott when I was down there at the beach and I was blowing and going, just talking junk. Y'all know how it is. I asked everybody in my family. I knew they weren't going to do it. I said, y'all on a parasail? Never one of them. No, I'm too scared. I said, if y'all had done it, I'd have done it. All of a sudden, here comes Brother Jackie walking down the beach. I'm like, what is he doing here? He said, hey, he wants somebody to go parasailing. Will you go? He said, man, I'll go. I thought, I'm in trouble now. Man, when I got up there and they reeled us out about 800 feet way up there in there, he thought I was playing. But I sat right there. I didn't care who's beside me. I said, Lord God, if I've done anything, if there's anything in my life right now that you've got a problem with, I ask you to forgive me. See, I was in a place that I needed help. Man, when you're 800 feet in the air, you need help, amen? Can I say this tonight? When your feet's flat on the ground, you need help. It doesn't matter how high I go or how low I go, I need help. The psalmist said, it doesn't matter if I make my bed in hell. The Lord knows that. Tonight, when we get to this place, let me show you this. He said not only in Acts 2:38 and Acts 3:19, but look in Acts 17:30, and this is why repentance is necessary. Acts chapter number 17 and verse number 30. I'll share this with closing tonight. Acts 17 and verse number 30. Acts 17 and 30. And Jesus said, the Bible says here tonight, God Almighty penned this down. Acts 17:30. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at. But now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Just what we're talking about tonight. To repent. To repent. I'll never forget in my life. And I tell this when I go to Broken Lives or if I go to a new church. I quit telling it here because, you know, the old devil tells you they get tired of hearing it. You know how they do. But when you got a story, you just won't tell it. I'll never forget that night in my life. Man, I'd been in the jail and I called and I'd say, God, help me. Man, just it was fake as fake could be. I didn't really want his help. I wanted out of what I was in. That was it. I'll never forget in my life, Brother Jerry Gabby. Never, ever, when I truly repented. True repentance. Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no repentance. There is no remission of sins without the shedding of blood. I was sitting five pews from that back. And this may be for somebody tonight, and you just, man, you got it built up to here, and you don't know where else to go. Repentance will bring that from here all the way down. Will it do it for a saved man? You bet you. A saved man's got to continuously repent. Yeah. I was sitting in that pew, y'all. I want you to know. Man, I done been to my parole officer up there, all that mess, done been through all that. And I was at the point where I was set free. But there was something on my life, even though you looked at me and you said I'd been set free, and you thought I had everything going on sitting there, there was still something that had a hold of me. And I'll never forget that night, that preacher's preaching. I can't tell you nothing he is preaching on. All I can tell you, he's talking about Jesus. And it was in the evening service, and I was sitting five pews from the back. And the Holy Spirit from heaven convicted my heart that night. And that night I went to an altar and I knelt down. And the first time in my life, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, I truly repented. When I went to that altar, I didn't grab no preacher's hand. And then I just went to that altar and I got before an almighty God on my knees. I'll never forget what I told him. Lord God, I know I'm a sinner. And I'm in need of a Savior. If what that man's been telling me is true, and you can set me free, I ask you to forgive me of everything in my life. And please, in Jesus' name, set me free. Folks, that night when I got up, I had a smile, and I ain't lost it yet. That smile was so big. I was free. I was free. I know what it's like. I'm coming down. Is that okay, Brother Eric? Okay. Brother Rodney? Okay. Ooh, that feels good. Folks, I know what it's like. Let me get this personal with you just for a minute, okay? I know what it is like to be living in a lie. I know what it's like to go to your baby dedication when the baby dedicate the baby to the Lord and the meth labs blowed up on your face and you've laid in bed for 2 weeks because you can't see out your eyes because meth labs ate all the meat off your face. I know what it's like, and they had to postpone it to get it the meat back right so that you could stand in front of a church. I know what it's like. I know what it's like when you kiss your wife and she thought you were supposed to be clean and you're supposed to be living this life that everybody thinks is perfect. And you tell her, say, baby, I'm going on over there and they're going to drug test me today and I'm probably going to get locked back up today. I know what that life's like. Living that lie. Living in that fear of what everybody else thinks. They think you got it together. But on the inside, it's a raging wolf. You're a liar. And you read the book and said there'll be no liars in heaven. And it just keeps standing out in your face. And then you get to that point where you've wore your mask so long and you're covered up. When he does hit you, just as true can be. And you go to an old-timey altar and you repent and you ask God to save you. And when you get up, you've been set free. You finally realize what the book says, who the Son sets free. It's free indeed. And I know in my life, if it worked then, when that monkey's on my back, if it worked then, 13 years later, it'll work again. This afternoon, what I'm trying to tell you is, if there's a monkey on your back right now, even as a saved man, you come to this altar. You don't have to get saved again. You can't get saved again. But you come to this altar and you ask God, Lord God, get this off me. Get this off me. I'll never forget that night I come home. Anything in that house did not honor and glorify God. It went up in flames. Man, I started chunking that stuff in that fire and I started burning it up. That next morning when I went into work, I was telling every one of them guys there, I said, y'all, I got saved last night. I got saved last night. You know how I knew it was different that time than it had ever been before, all the lies I'd ever lived in my life? Because I finally come to a place where I truly repented. I truly repented. I truly asked God, Lord God, I know I'm a sinner. I need you to save me. Reach down from heaven. Save my soul. I can't tell you how it all works and it all will work out in your life tonight. But I do know this, I find myself weekly at a place in my life asking God, Lord God, you know where I'm at again, and I need you to help me. Tonight, if you're at a place in your life, and you say the stress of this life, the burden of this life has done got too hard, Brother BJ, don't give up and get out. Get the quit off the table. Dig a little deeper, and ask God to help you. He's faithful and he's just to help you tonight. He'll meet you right where you are tonight. And I thank God tonight that he allows his people to ask for forgiveness through repentance tonight. Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence, Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you tonight. I thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you tonight for a church. Father God, I'm talking about just the old-fashioned church. Lord, we can come in and, Father, we can just feel your presence tonight. Lord God, we have to come in and we got mask on our face and Lord God, we got just so much distractions in the world that we live in. But Lord, there's one thing that doesn't change. And that's old-fashioned repentance. When a church gets a burden for the lost, we get an old-timey altar and we start crying out. Asking you to move in a mighty way. Well, God, there may be one in here tonight that needs to be restored. There may be one in here tonight that needs some reconciliation going on in their life with people they know. Well, God, there may be one in here tonight just needs remission. Some things removed tonight. Just clean slate laid out before them. They'd walk the way you've called them to walk. Lord, I pray for this church. Pray for each and every person that's in this sanctuary tonight. And Lord, I pray tonight that we be a church that's found. Be repenting and asking you to help this church. Father, I love you and I thank you for this night. I thank you for the Holy Ghost quietness on this place. Lord God, for that individual tonight that just needs to make a move. Distractions are out of the place. They're out of here. Lord God, we can be real tonight with you. And I ask it all in Jesus' most holy, precious name. All of God's people said, amen. As we sing tonight. Maybe you're here tonight. It's been a while since you come to an altar. You just got before God and said, Lord God, if they be anything.